right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. It's an exciting week and an exciting time to talk about what's going on in the world of sports as we have a brand new major winner in the world of golf as Jason Day wins the PGA Championship, his first major. But if golf could get past the Tiger Woods era any better than it's trying to in this 2015 season, I don't know how it would have done it. We'll talk about that in just a little while. IU football camp is well underway, heading towards their first game against Southern Illinois in a couple weeks. And again, no news is good news out of Indiana camp. Some things to talk about, but nothing that is incredibly problematic at this point in time, and that's probably the best thing we can say. Indiana basketball got their first commitment for 2016, and half the fan base seems to love him because he has an Indiana address. Half the fan base doesn't know who he is and isn't ranked and doesn't want him anymore, so figure that out. I don't know. IU fans have got to figure out what the hell they want around here. But we'll start with the Gridiron and the Indianapolis Colts, who on Sunday went to Philadelphia and were supposed to play in this football game and apparently didn't get the memo until later in the game. And their fourth string, I guess, finally put some, I don't know what the heck happened. Terry, look, it's preseason. It's the first preseason game. Andrew Luck barely played. T.Y. Hilton didn't even go on the trip. Half the team's not playing in these games. I get that. 36-10 losers. Look, I don't have a problem with the score. I don't need to win the preseason. But when you're missing tackles all over the place, which is already a problem, you're getting run on, which is already the problem, you're getting up big plays, which is already the problem, your special teams gives up a punt return, your star first-round draft pick fumbles the ball after making a nice catch, your offensive line still can't run block and rush the ball worth a darn, and you're looking for silver lining in this. My problem is the same problems that already existed did not show improvement really of any kind, and I get it. They didn't play all their starters, but help me out. I'm not jumping off the building yet, but why am I positive about this at all?
Get away from that ledge. Get away from that ledge, Dave. It's okay. Philadelphia is a little bit different team. You know, we're never going to see anything like what Chip Kelly tries to do with them.
Then why do we play them?
The NFL set the schedule up. No, I mean, our starters that were there to play, Vontae Davis didn't play. I mean, we had 11 plays on offense. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much the defense was in there. Yeah, it's awful. I mean, we had some of the best teams we've ever had go 1-4 or 5 in preseason. Right. But, yeah, just the little things. You know, but I, as Glass calls it, an exhibition. That was a poor exhibition, mm-hmm. period, of football. But, you know, just kind of brushing it. Hey, no injuries. That's the key. I think one guy got dinged up a little bit.
And that's nice, but you know, we're looking for excuses as to why it's okay to get your doors blown off.
Because it doesn't count, that's
because
why.
It's a funky offense. I get it. They're not game planning all that hard for something special. I get that, but it still means you can tackle. It still means you can be awake for a no-huddle offense, a hurry-up offense.
Fundamentally unsound. So then you got plenty of stuff to complain about and get on people's butts about it in the film room and try to get better for the Bears.
Well,
weekend.
You know, look, if you're going to give up 36 points, okay, fine. It's a special offense, whatever you want to call it. Their starting quarterback didn't play. Their second string quarterback didn't play all that much. They played Tim Tebow in this game. I mean, he's going to be lucky to
That's
make the
embarrassing
roster,
enough.
If that. You know, but on the other side of the ball, where they pass, I mean, they did fine protecting the quarterbacks, which is their job. But again, and I understand Frank Gore isn't there or didn't play in that game. But you've got to create something for somebody. And the Tipton kid couldn't get anything going, couldn't get much room to run to begin with. Everybody's all high on Josh Robinson, who I like as a young running back. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's worth a draft pick. He's a young guy. He's well built. He's a bowling ball type of guy. He doesn't have much speed. But really, I mean, 10 carries, 44 yards. We're going to freak out because that's great out of your third, fourth string running back.
I was going to say our top three running backs didn't play.
Two of them are injured or might not play all preseason. Look, I get it. What I'm trying to get to with this is way too much has been made over the years about in the last couple of years in particular, about how a running back is going to make your offensive line as opposed to the other way around. More often than not, your offensive line is going to make the running back look good. And then on top of that, a really good running back is going to make him look even better. And I say it again, you can look at IU last year. Tevin Coleman, his offensive line did just enough for him to get a few yards. When they needed big yards, they didn't get them. But when they got him a little bit of a crease with some space because everybody's spread out, his exceptional combination of speed and size got him 2,000 yards.
Exactly.
Okay, the offensive line gets some credit for that, but it doesn't get all the credit because he's making special things happen. I like Frank Gore a lot and have liked him forever, but if you're going to take a gamble on a player, usually a 32-year-old running back is not the direction you want to take a gamble. Now, I hope he's productive, but I don't see him running for 1,800 yards unless that offensive line gets really good really fast, and that's not happening.
No, absolutely, and that's exactly – he better have some blocking because he is long enough in the tooth – Because of being a running back and run hard in the last at least 5 or 6 years, he's been the bell cow for the Niners, and he has been good. But
and remember, the Niners as a team, they committed some high draft picks, good ones, to that offensive line. They had 3 first-round draft picks starting on that during this run with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, and it was an excellent offensive line. So, it's got to start somewhere. And Dave, teams that – and, yes, you throw out yesterday, but teams that win championships are teams that can do both. They can protect the passer, and they can open holes when they need to open holes. And that's one thing. The Colts right now have been a one-dimensional offensive team forever.
Yeah.
And while we did have some success with Edgerrin James, had a little bit of success in 2006 with two different running backs – that was a veteran offensive line. It had been together forever, and these guys aren't. They're coming. I mean, it's going to be there. But I'm going to be interested to see, as we go a little further in this exhibition season, as the starters play a little longer, does Gore get out there? Does Boom Heron get out there? Vic Ballard, oh, I hope you're healthy, buddy. I feel so, I'm ready to see you play.
333-2665 is our phone number. You mentioned that 06 offensive line. I mean, that was kind of the best one they've had in a long time. And since then, they haven't had one quite that good. Tarik Glenn retired off that Super Bowl team. They lost the guards the next couple years. They had some changes that went on with that offensive line. Early in Peyton Manning's career, it was much more predicated on Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk. I mean, it was a run game. It was a play-action game. That transitioned over time to being more Peyton Manning's arm and going down the field and getting it to the receivers. The good news coming out of yesterday, and I'll find some silver lining here, is if you can protect Andrew Luck with the weapons he has on offense to throw the ball around, I think you'll be able to generate a little bit of the run game simply in having to guard the entire field with all of these weapons with Andrew Luck. Last year, they did not pass block all that well at times. There was a couple games they were excellent at it, and I think that had a lot to do with the opponent, to be quite fair. Some of the games, it was a revolving door up the middle. And so that absolutely has to get solved. And so that was a good, one good thing coming out of yesterday. It wasn't a revolving door at center in those two guard spots where guys are just running free up the middle to hit Andrew Luck. That happened way too often last year. You at least have to get some solidification right up the middle so that Andrew Luck has the time to look around. I think the offensive line, I think the running game can generate a little bit more once everybody, like I said, has to get wide and deep on all these playmakers. You'll open up a little space for Frank Gore. The key here with Frank Gore is he's a big, strong guy and a plugger, and he's going to be a professional about it all, and he's going to pass block. But you can't think he's going to get you huge production if he's got to break a bunch of tackles at the line of scrimmage on every play. He's got to have a little bit of space to run.
Yeah, that's not his game. I mean, he's not going to run over anybody. Well, he will run over you.
He can break a couple tackles, but
he's not that type of guy that is going to make something out of nothing. Exactly. So we'll see. First exhibition game.
It's an exhibition
game. No worries.
Doesn't mean we can't be scared. As Coach Pagano says, they still grade the films.
Good. Well, they best.
And somebody tell Greg Toler to tackle
somebody. Oh, my.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone. We'll talk a little bit more gridiron when we get back from the break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. We got all kinds of stuff going on this week, all kinds of changes. If you haven't noticed, this is U-Haul Central here around town this week, so be smart driving around town because I guarantee people aren't looking at you and paying any attention to anything. So be careful, be smart. If you see a U-Haul, just get the heck away from them. Find a different route. Just go somewhere else. Stay off the main roads. You know how it works.
I do.
We've all done this before.
They don't.
Reds are off tonight, but we'll have him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Kansas City in town for two games, and then Arizona in town on Thursday. 7 o'clock pregame for all of those. We'd have more Reds, I imagine, this weekend, but we've got more stuff that's starting up this weekend. In particular, high school football starts Friday night with a big one here. Number 2, Columbus East, comes to town to face the North Cougars, who are welcoming some players back, a new quarterback, but quite a few players back on that team for Scott Bless. 6:30 is Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff. And then we'll have Bears at Colts. So Colts preseason, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 kickoff on Saturday night. So lots going on. Stick with the pregame or with the gridiron here. I mean, we've got high school and college coming up, but IU in particular, I mean, the only thing you're hearing, which is good news, is not about injuries right now, but it is about the lack of depth in this defensive secondary. And this was already a spot that was getting shredded the last couple of years. The whole defense was getting shredded, let's be fair. They lost several defensive backs, starting defensive backs, three of them in particular. One, of course, Antonio Allen with his off-the-field issues, but a couple other guys have graduated and left the program. So they're going to be very young at that spot. Problem I have at this point in time, and I know some people don't like to hear nothing but hype out of camp on certain guys, the problem I'm hearing is a need position. And I don't want to blame them for anything in the everything in the passing games. It's not everything. The pass rush helps, and they need some pass rush. But we're not hearing any hype out of anybody. What we're hearing is old four-star recruits are having to get motivated by young guys. And I said this last week, that I don't love to hear. I don't love to hear that you put another guy on the depth chart ahead of somebody just to motivate him all of a sudden. That, to me, sounds like getting passed on the depth chart here real soon.
Oh, I know. When I read some of that last week and looking online at some of the comments through IU media, yeah, that sounds like a accident waiting to happen. And we do think they have some talented kids. Like I said, I'm a huge Rashard Vance fan. Always, you know, just the first time I watched him play, he's small, but he's fast. He's not afraid. He's kind of cocky. I like that. But, hey, you've got to prove it. You're supposed to be the best one, and you're in a second team right now?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, you know, Dave, your father coached. You was a coach forever. Some of that may just be a little motivation. To make him practice harder and try to get a spot back. But, yeah, it's a little disconcerting, as far as I'm concerned, to hear the one place in your defense where you have the least amount of depth and you're liable to start a couple of true freshmen back there because the other guys just don't seem to want to get motivated. Come on. I mean, very scary.
Well, I don't like to hear it.
No.
Don't get me wrong. It's not the difference between a Big Ten championship or missing a bowl game this year. But, you know, it's a spot you need somebody to stand out. And this is the guy that you'd like to see stand out. And if he doesn't, I mean, the heck with him. That's what I'm going to say. That said, I mean, I can't say that I'm going to blame him for all this. I don't want to make him a huge scapegoat. We talked about him a couple times because, again, he was a big-time recruit coming in here.
Yes.
So you'd like those guys to be the guys that stand out. Antonio Allen was a big-time recruit. And was a big-time player.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And right away, when he was healthy. I mean, he blew out his knee halfway through his freshman season. But he was a big-time player when he started on the field. He was a big-time player last year. So that's a big, big loss back there. Before I blame the defensive secondary for everything, I'll say it again. That defensive front, it's got some players back. It's got some depth back. It's got some promise to it. But it's got to generate some pass rush without having to commit linebacker after linebacker after linebacker and safety after safety up front. Well, these guys are always going to be on an island back there. And I don't care if you're a freshman or a senior. It's hard to keep making those plays back there if you're out on your own. We don't have that level of cornerback that you can do that all night long. It's got to help. You got to get some help from up front.
No, definitely. And then Darius Latham, you know, slowed a little bit by a knee scope this summer or not long ago. And he'll be fine. He'll be ready to go. But, you know, he's a guy that's big and athletic. And for a guy that's 6'5 and 3'10, can really move. He's agile. I mean, I remember mm-hmm. watching him play basketball at North Central. Tremendous athlete. You got to see some more out of him.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him get to the quarterback from that position he's in right now. Because, like you said, the more we have to bring out some of our outside linebackers or whatever they call these in our 3-4 defense, there's no help behind him. And until some of these guys prove, because Dave, we've got a couple of pretty good quarterbacks in the Big Ten, and probably at least one in some of our preseason games that could give these guys fits if they're not being chased around in the backfield by some pressure. So we've got to have some.
And to be fair to the likes of Darius Latham, I mean, here's the problem with an IU football program over time that keeps getting recycled and recycled is you get a big name like a Latham, and he's expected to step in right away. The difference between Darius Latham and Antonio Allen is simply that Darius Latham's at a position where physically it takes more time to develop into that strength, size, speed, all that combination of things. Whereas an Antonio Allen back in the backfield is able to kind of step in a little quicker, and he's got so much space out there to run around that ability that he has in that regards could stand out a little bit more quicker. Whereas Darius Latham, I mean, let's be fair, in the Big Ten, you go from a high school to Big Ten, when you're that size, you're pushing people around in high school. In the Big Ten, you're playing against guys that are bigger than you all of a sudden.
Right.
And to be fair, I think he's been a pretty good player for his size and his skill level, and he's been in a rotation just like you want everybody to be at that spot. Now is the time, you're exactly right, when you start to see Darius Latham. Is he ready to break into a star type of level? Because now he's got some time in the program. Now he's got some time. He's worked on himself. He's shown flashes here and there that have been just fine. You know, and I don't pin anything on Darius Latham. Oh, that whole front needs to be better. And I still say moving Mangieri up into the line gives you a little bit more quickness and takes away a little bit more. I won't call him slow because I think he's got good speed. I just didn't love his speed at outside linebacker. I like it better when it's at a down position. I think he can take advantage of people a little bit more there. This defense needs a little bit more speed up front to cause some problems. When it started blitzing last year, it started causing more problems. But what that does, again, is that leaves holes in the back. And people exploited the holes in the back when the blitzes didn't get there, and that's why you got the numbers you got.
Yeah, the only reason I'm not singling Darius Latham out because I think he's been great, and I think this is a year – where with this combination of knowledge and really almost 2 years of starting, he did all last year. He played so much as a freshman. Mm-hmm. And moving Mangieri up with him, the two of them together, I see that could be the beginnings of a decent pass rush for the Hoosier defense.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be. 333-2665 is our phone number. The other thing, of course, we're still not hearing a lot about is at the wide receiver position. I'd be less concerned if it wasn't a big problem position last year. I mean, they got no help out of that wide receiver position last year. They lose Shane Wynn and Nick Stoner out of there. I know Stoner was hurt and in and out of the lineup, but they lose a couple guys that have made big plays for them over time. So they're getting younger at that position also, and they had a lousy year last year to begin with. Then you lose maybe one of your few guys that got the most snaps last year. The good news there still is – you've got a lot of talented bodies to choose from, to give reps to see who steps up. The question is, who does step up? You saw the Colts wide receivers this weekend step back from all the promise they've been talked about. Do any of the IU wide receivers, now that we've heard several names on, do they step up and make a name for themselves?
Oh, I hope they do, because we've got a whole array. I mean, it's a deep group. And some guys, big guys, 6'2", 6'3", 210, 220. We've got some smaller burners. So, I mean, there's a wide variety in the wide receiver group. And number one, just not only will somebody step up, will a majority of them catch passes thrown to them this year that they dropped last year. And it just was like an epidemic. Even Shane Wynn didn't have a Shane Wynn-like year. When he was the go-to guy. So two major question marks for IU this year is one on offense, one on defense. And the things in between look reasonably solid at the other spots. And the kicking game appears to be solid. So we'll see. But, no, if we can't have some of these young guys step – hey, you know what? Of course, Marquise, and I can't – from UAB, I can't remember his last name that came
Hawkins.
Up here. Hawkins. He's a bona fide you know, all-conference type pass catcher and has had a couple years under his belt. I think he'll be fine. If he's not injured, I think you can plug him in. Now, we need two or three of the other guys, and they're all young. Step up, make some plays. Offense, I look for our wide receivers to become a non-question faster than our DBs.
Well,
in my opinion,
that's, you know, I think that's probably a fair assessment. I mean, you've got some bodies, a couple of which transfers in, have got a little bit more experience. We will see. They certainly have the quarterback and the running game to offset and to draw some attention away. We'll see how they do with that. We've got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. We still have a phone line here.
That works.
Tomorrow night, during this time frame, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, it's Joe Smith Sports Talk. He will have the IHSAA commissioner, Bobby Cox, not the former Atlanta Braves manager. Maybe talk pitching, I don't know.
Yeah, you probably could.
He'll also have Dr. Jeffrey Smithers to talk about concussions and health of young athletes. Speaking of young athletes, we had our first glimpses of the high school football teams this weekend. Of course, we didn't have glimpses, but we'll read about them a little bit. But having called some football games the last couple years, it's going to be an interesting year for high school football here around. We don't spend a lot of time talking a lot about the high school teams here on the show, simply because I don't want to make this a show about what the kids are doing right and wrong and critiquing them all over the place. But we do have a preview here, and we do have the first game of the season coming up, a big game, Columbus East at Bloomington North. Bloomington North, in particular, bringing in a new quarterback here, but the offensive line last year was really, really young and struggled a bit. They've got some veterans coming back on this offensive line. In particular, but the, you know, it's got to have to carry the way here with a couple running backs to take off care of the playmakers who are going to be new, and that quarterback is going to be new.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for all three county schools. I mean, they all have some strength. They're all going to have
some. They all lost a lot of good seniors.
And they all lost a lot of good seniors. So we'll see what'll happen. And you know, Coach Bless, no bargain opening the season with Columbus East, perennial top. One of the top teams, and now they're in 5A, right along with North and South, after they changed and got a 6A here a couple years ago. This will be a tough match. Joe and John always open with this one, and they've been some really, really good games, and there have been some stinkers. And I would imagine Coach Bless will have his guys ready to go. But it looks like a good high school football season with some competitive teams, so maybe not as much as the South was last year, but I think all three teams have some good things. We'll see what happens.
Well, North will have to rely a little bit on their defense and their running game, but I think that's how Scott Bless likes it anyways. So he may be all right at the end of the day. With South, it's going to be mostly defense. I mean, they graduated so much from that offense. Four or five of their offensive linemen, their regular offensive linemen, were seniors up front. The quarterback, of course, Bryce Stancomb, both of your running backs, Williams and Breedlove, big play guys in Lucas Franz, Logan Kirby. I mean, you saw these guys making plays all over the place. They lost a lot from that offense. It sounds like they held their own in this scrimmage over the weekend, but it really is going to have to be, I think, that defense that carries them a long way this year.
Yeah, the Richardsons back there, they're going to anchor that. They've got some solid people. Yeske, the young quarterback, is just going to be a sophomore. He looked very promising the other night from what I was told. Handled things was much more calm and poised than they thought against a really pretty good and a 6A Lawrence Central team. So, and Edgewood, you know, they lost a lot of offense. I haven't seen much yet in the paper about them. Coach out there is always does such a good job, and they had such a solid team last year. So, but a couple of things from some of my friends on the west side out there. So they've got several solid kids. If he can build some depth, you know, Coach Bland, they'll be all right out in Edgewood. He's a good coach.
Yeah, Jerry Bland's a very good coach and keeps it simple for the kids. Doesn't have the numbers of North and South maybe, but their defense, I think, is going to return a few players. They lost some key players. There's no question.
They sure did.
Zach Harrison, certainly, you know, your quarterback there. He and the running back, they carried that offense. They do have a tackle who's already committed to Northern Illinois, so I think they're going to continue to run the ball, and that's what they do out there in Edgewood. But it is going to be a little bit different year. It was great seasons for South and Edgewood, a decent season for North, a lot of guys graduating off that. So we will see, but it'll be a little bit different. There's no question about it. 333-2665 is the phone number. Moving over to the Hardwood, mentioned this in the opener, Indiana has their first commitment for the 2016 season, and it is maybe not who everybody was tracking off of the top-ranked lists, but Grant Gielen out of Crown Point, who is a 6'5 shooter and apparently can light it up shooting the ball, has committed to Indiana. His previous offers were the likes of Western Michigan, and Furman and Illinois State, these types of teams, Iona. So again, it's not the Big Ten teams. I think some people are starting to gnash their teeth a little bit that this isn't some high ranked kid. What are they doing out there? But what you get is you get an Indiana kid and you get a shooter. And, you know, a couple things have kind of bugged me a little bit about IU fans in the last couple of years, but it does seem to me that IU fans would like to see some Indiana connection. And hopefully this kid will give them at least a little bit of that.
Yeah. He had a great summer. That's why he's a little – playing in AAU and playing up with the teams up north like he does, we don't ever see him down here. I know of him. I've never seen him play. He might have been on the North Junior All-Stars that played in the high school game. I know that, like, Tucker Blackwell, our local kid from Bloomington South, was on the South team, and I did get to see that game. But this kid is a shooter. And he's quite an athlete. You know, we'll see if that pans out. But, yeah, I mean, it's the talent right now in the last couple of years is a little down as far as 4- and 5-star kids in the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, and we haven't gotten any of them. You know, after James Blackman, of course.
Right.
You know, you have him. So, we'll see. He's a good kid, good shooter. So, we'll see how that pans out. I see both sides to me. Right now, he's with the way we want to play, we want shooters and three-point guys, and he's 6'5".
Well, so. What I can't figure out, as I mentioned about IU fans, is there seems to be a split as to IU fans. Right now, half of them want to be Butler, and the other half want to be Kentucky, or at least something close to Kentucky, at least talent-wise. I mean, they want this literally top 10, top 20 talent flowing in the door all the time. It's like there's, I don't know where the middle ground is here, and I don't think any of these fans on either side can see that there might be some middle ground where you're still getting the likes of the Yogi Ferrells and the James Blackman and the Thomas Bryants who are ranked, you know, top 20, top 30, top 40 type positions, and some guys that you fill in around them. And maybe that hasn't quite happened yet, but this could be a sign of that. Stretching here a little bit, but it's a middle ground situation because I don't think at Indiana, and I don't think Tom Crean's focusing on making this Butler where you're bringing in 5 Indiana kids or area kids that are all, you know, in the 150s and otherwise. He's still looking for top talent that's ranked by everybody out there.
Yeah.
But he also, I mean, it's pretty clear he needs shooters out there. That's the one thing that's always freaked me out about IU fans also with this team the last couple of years. I understand defensive fundamentals have been bad. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. You know, and there's some other fundamentals. Certainly some people get going a little fast. But the last year's team, you had a fundamental that I thought a hell of a lot out of, and that is shooting. I mean, this team shot the hell out of the ball. To me, that's still a pretty important one, and one I thought was always pretty important to Indiana people.
Yeah, they shot the ball well. They moved the ball tremendous at some times, and the turnovers were down. Most Hoosier fans are hypocrites. They really don't know what they want.
Right now they don't.
You know, there is, you're right, the middle ground, that's a perfect way to look at it. I think the one thing that really makes people crazy is since Cody, the last four Mr. Basketballs have not come here.
Mm-hmm.
And that just drives people nuts.
Yeah.
They can't stand it. Especially when 3 of them go to the Big Ten school. Mm-hmm. And now, well, four, all of them. Swanigan decided, you know, going to Purdue. So all four of them have went to other Big Ten schools. So obviously,
Lyle,
you know, that's
went
Tom.
To Kentucky, but that's,
well, that's right. Lyle's went to Kentucky.
It's even worse.
Well, I'm thinking of two. Yeah. We got Michigan, Michigan State.
Yeah, that's right.
And now I don't want to remember Kentucky for any reason. So that's why I left him out.
It's just bad.
Yeah. Anyway, obviously that's Green's fault. So yeah, that's the other thing that bugs the crap out of me. You're right. This kid's gonna be a good one. Depending on who leaves, what happens next year, he might be an integral part, or two or three other kids may come in. If a couple decide to leave and a couple other ones come in, this kid may never see the floor. But it's a good get, and he is a tremendous shooter.
And this team, again, with his system, that's what he wants out there. And I don't see any system that doesn't want shooters.
You know, it's funny.
Fair.
There's still people that think Bob Knight's walking through the door. There's people that want everybody else. These last couple of teams have been back to the old Hurry and Hoosiers.
Yeah.
I can't believe that more people are not grabbing a hold of this. And I think they did last year. I think this team really, their effort and the way they could shoot the basketball and keep themselves in any game, I think they, you know, people are starting to embrace that a little bit more. I hope so, because it's a hell of a lot better to watch than some of the teams we've had.
Clutch and grab. Look, there were some missing fundamentals.
Sure.
I mean, there's no question,
heck,
especially on the defensive end. But on the offensive end, you know, they were an excellent offensive team. And shooting the ball, to me, still, when I think of Indiana, I don't think of getting in a two-point stance and getting your hands out. I think of shooting, you know, 500 shots a day to become a great outside shooter. That's what I think of, you know, the vision in my mind of the guys shooting back in those old gyms. Maybe I'm dead wrong on that, but I still consider that a pretty significant fundamental to have.
Well, from the time that Cody got here his freshman year up until Sheehy's senior year was the one, you know, we've had some pretty decent teams. Mm-hmm. The one year that we couldn't shoot.
Yeah, that's right.
Period. And they have, you know, we've been very competitive and had some darn good teams. Been one team we didn't, just could not shoot a lick. That's why we weren't in a lot of games there, because they played good defense.
Yeah, they did. They were better. All right, got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk about the PGA Championship and your new major winner when we get back from the break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Dave, we got people. We got somebody today listening.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Well, at least
Arizona.
We got one listener.
We know we have one. It's on the beautifully streaming WGCLradio.com.
They probably really enjoyed our North, South, and Edgewood talk then earlier.
Nah, he's from here. He loved it.
Oh, okay, good.
And don't, no worries.
Well, let's make it international since we got somebody from Phoenix.
Yeah.
The fourth major of the year. Golf's last chance at glory, or whatever the hell they call
it.
So sick of Jim Nantz. Well, he's going to do football here soon.
You like him?
Whistling Straits up in Wisconsin. It was the last chance at glory. It has been the Jordan Spieth show this year, and that did not stop this weekend as he made a charge on Saturday to get into the final group. Jason Day made a nice little charge also to continue to be in the final group as he was in it on Saturday and Sunday. Start right off the bat here with just the season in general, because between Jason Day and Jordan Spieth, either one of them you could take. And there's a lot of graphics this weekend about the best majors years in the history of golf kind of thing. And this call goes back to, of course, Tiger Woods, and most recently in 2000 won three of the four and finished fifth in the Masters. So that was a big comparison this weekend. But I could make a case for either one of these two guys and their seasons being just phenomenal type of seasons in the majors, because Jason Day has held a 54-hole lead now in three straight majors, won the final one. Jordan Spieth, of course, won the first two, finished, you know, just a stroke out of a playoff in the British, and just in second place here in a couple strokes in the last group of the PGA. So you talk about a major season. It's really been a great set of stories all season.
Well, with Tiger struggling as much as he is, and face it, he still is the needle. And I hope he finds his game. and gets competitive again. My personal thought is he will. Never be dominant again, but you're going to see some wins out of him, maybe a major or two. But right now, who cares? Because these kids in particular, and of course Rory's going to probably, he's not even anybody's talking about him anymore. Right,
he wasn't that far off after a pretty significant ankle injury.
After that ankle, and, you know, after having done something almost like that years ago, I know how that had to hurt. But and he came back and played solidly. But man, these two guys are so fun to watch, and they're human out on the golf course. You know, you see both of them laughing, they joke around. I've been a Jason Day fan for years when we used to play that. Choose our teams and do that point system thing. I had him on my team every year because I kept thinking, this guy's coming. And he's fun to watch. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Spieth's the same way. You know, you got a guy, 25 and 22?
Yeah.
Rory's 25 or 6. So, I mean, we've got some outstanding golfers. And you know, Justin Rose, Johnson. There's a lot of good golfers right now on the PGA Tour that are not named Tiger Woods that are stealing the show. And I think golf said it. A lot of people, I mean, you either love Tiger or you hate him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably no middle ground. Should he actually get his game back a little bit and make it interesting with these three or four or five, maybe 10 other guys, Bubba Watson, who I think is a hypocrite and a joke, but he's talented. There's a lot to like about pro golf right now, no doubt.
You mentioned, I mean, in particular, they've made a lot out of this Rory-Jordan Spieth, if you call it a rivalry, because they've been fighting for number one. It doesn't seem like a rivalry to them other than they want to win, obviously. Yeah. But Jordan Spieth, you know, is at least from American standpoint, he's the story. I mean, by far, in a way, he's the story at this point in time. And if there's something that it would take to overcome Tiger, it would be a dominant American player. Tiger had, of course, the interesting background and, you know, being a mixed race person in a game that's traditionally not a game of African-Americans. And it's been very much a white country club type of game. So that made an impression on people also. It wasn't just the winning. It was a little bit of the cultural thing, too. Jordan Spieth doesn't have that. But what he does have is he has in a day and when I think we're starting to get past all that, he has the dominance, at least right now. And it's kind of amazing how quickly that has turned into dominance. It's difficult to imagine that it can continue with that level of dominance, but he hasn't necessarily given you any reason to not think so. He didn't show up at the British until that week and did pretty darn well at the British. Yeah. He continued to make improvements in his game as he sees these golf courses and continues to get himself into positions. And even though you might see an errant swing here and an errant swing there, you see an awful lot of clutch swings out of him. And that's what I think people love so much about Tiger to a large degree was it was always clutch. And Jordan Spieth is exactly that right now.
The moment, I mean, he's not scared of big moments. And that's, I mean, guys that are, I don't want to use the word cold-blooded killers, but guys who relish that and make the shot, whether it's a golf shot, a jump shot, make the pitch, hit the pitch, complete the pass, the guys that do it when it's the brightest spotlight and they've got the most to lose, those are guys I love to watch. I mean, the Michael Jordans of the world, they do it. They complete the task every time. Or, you know, you're so shocked that they don't. This kid's got it. I mean, Rory's got it. Mm-hmm. Now, after so many close calls, you know, three or four runner-ups in majors, does this push Jason Day over the top into the same stratosphere as Spieth and Rory? My answer is yeah. The way he's playing.
Here's the thing. Looking back at, again, it's been Rory and Jordan that everybody's been trying to talk to. What's interesting to me about the way they compart themselves is that, you know, with Tiger, you saw a cockiness. It was a confidence, but it was also a cockiness. And that rubbed a lot of people wrong when he first started showing up in these things. There was an interesting thing a week or so ago I saw where they went through his six straight amateur victories, and they had all of the six guys that he beat. And the guys all talked about how, you know, it was difficult at first to deal with these antics on the golf course. These two guys are confident that we're talking about, but they don't look to me like they're cocky to other people out there. I mean, they're talking with each other. They're chatting with each other. It's real talk. It's you know, it seems like there's camaraderie with the other players out there. And Jason Day seems to fit right into that. And what gets missed by people who maybe aren't watching as closely as some bigger golf fans is just how good Jason Day has been for the last several years. This is what, three straight majors with a 54 hole lead, and he just hasn't been able to get over that hump, and he's got some pretty good competition he's been going up against, but it's been a few years now. It's not just this year that he's been there. He's been really, really close for a few years, and he fits the same mold to me as these two guys.
No, absolutely. I mean, and that's great. And you, like I said, then we've still got another four or five or six guys that can win a golf tournament any week they step out there. And it's made it interesting in a time when the biggest star is struggling. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching yesterday because, like I said, I've always been a Jason Day fan since he turned pro and just like the kid. And I'm so happy for him to finally get one. And if he would have messed up and Spieth would have caught him, I'd have been just as happy for him going, wow, you got three out of the four majors.
Well, I finally got one right, too, because I called Jason Day. Not that I was going out on a big limb with that one, because he has been so good. But he's been on the precipice, and we saw at the Open some physical issues, and we'll see what that does to him, because when he's played, even when he has played through it, it hasn't knocked him that far back. You know, he had the vertigo at Chambers Bay, but came back pretty quick. He was also a shot out of that playoff.
Oh yeah,
at St. Andrews. So I mean, he's been a consistent player. It's nice to see the guy. He saw the emotions afterwards. Nice to see him break through, because we've watched him for a couple of years, be so close.
Yeah, and like I said, so happy for him. And it's, I think that's just one of a few more for him to put him up there with the other two.
Well, it's 20-somethings. There's a couple more of those guys that if they end up winning too, you got a crowded group of youngsters to take us into the next generation. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. So tune in then. And Glass and I will be back Wednesday at 6. So tune in then also. You've been in the zone.